you a sense of what's coming up in our little series on kashrus over here. Today we're going to discuss milk, the kashrus of milk, Be'ezras Hashem. On Monday, it looks like I'm going to be saying shir on Monday. No shir on Sunday, but it looks like I'll say shir on Monday. We'll probably do Trumas and Maestros on Monday. Tuesday, no shir. Wednesday and Thursday, we're going to have guest speakers. Wednesday and Thursday, we'll have people from the kashrus industry to discuss kashrus-related issues. I believe on Wednesday, we're going to have Rabbi Gersten from the OU, and he's going to discuss a particular kashrus issue that's very relevant, that's a subject of machlokas between Rav Schechter and Rav Belsky, and then he's going to take questions in general about OU policy and things like that. So prepare questions for Rabbi Gersten. He's unbelievable. He knows everything there is to know about kashrus, and particularly about the Piskei Halacha of Rabbi Belsky and Rabbi Schechter and the OU policies. He's in the room when they make those policies. He's a shaper of what happens. And then on Thursday, Rabbi Schreier, who's in charge of the catering in the OU, will let us know about a lot of the issues that come up in terms of catering and how to make sure that things remain kosher and all the unique challenges, many of which we learn about through our limud of Yeridaya. And then Be'ez Hashem, the following week, we'll be back to regular shir. We'll go back to Basar B'Chalav. So that is the plan. But today we're going to discuss the kashrus of milk. I just got an email about an hour ago from somebody. Since I'm on my computer anyway, I could even read the email. I just got an email about an hour ago that said as follows. Let me see if I can find it here. It wasn't that long ago. Of course, I can't find it now. The email, there it is, it's all the way at the top, yeah, because I just got it. The email I got is read as follows. I just had responded to a person's question about something else, and he said, "While I have you, is it true that Rav Schechter does not drink milk due to the Rov Trefos controversy of a number of years ago?" So I said, "I'm about to give a shir on that topic. So what exactly is that controversy? What exactly is the issue? And why does Rav Schechter not drink milk? Is that a halacha? Is that a chumrah? What exactly, how are we supposed to relate to this?" So a little bit of description of the problem, then we'll describe the heterim, and then we'll describe the basic shitos. So the description of the problem involves two steps. The problem as far as we first have to understand the metzius, and then we can understand the halacha, and then we'll be able to appreciate what the problem is. So the metzius first. There is a condition called displaced, I could be pronouncing this wrong, displaced abomasums. We'll call it DA, in which the fourth stomach, the keva in Hebrew, the fourth stomach of the cow gets moved out of place and fills with air. And the procedures that they use to correct that condition can involve puncturing the keva, which would normally make a cow a trefa, and would make the milk of that cow not kosher. Now, we do not know, we don't have clear data of how many of these procedures on DA cows are done. The government doesn't track that data, and the incidence of DA is obviously going to be different from one farm to the next, from one country to the next, and based on a variety of factors like cow feed and the climate and the farm conditions, there could be any number of issues that could lead to a cow suffering from this condition. We do know that most cows, while they're providing milk, do not have DA, but we don't have very clear data. But in addition to that, there's also no regulation of the corrective procedures that they do. Some vets will puncture the keva, some roll the cow and don't do any invasive surgery, some suture the keva's outer skin but don't enter the keva, so it's not clear exactly what the procedure is done, even when the procedure is done. But then in addition to that, there is something called bloat, which many of the cows have, which is a form of indigestion due to accumulated gas, and it leads to the swelling of the rumen. It can usually be treated by a vet or the farmer with a regular procedure without surgery where the rumen of the animal is punctured. But if the animal's rumen is punctured, it could be considered trefa anyway. Now, additionally, there can be other factors that make it common to have an animal that's traf, like lesions on the lungs, which are obviously very, very common. That can happen to 40% 90% of the time for large cattle. And when you put all of these factors together, in theory, it could be that that you'll have close to a majority, if not an actual majority, of dairy cows that are actually TRAFE, between the lesions on the lungs, between the DA and the procedure done to relieve the DA, and the bloat that that animals have, and the procedures to relieve that. It could be that the majority of dairy cows are possibly TRAFE. Now, the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Simen Pei Aleph Sif Aleph, that chalav behema v'chayet tmeo trefa is asurim kivasara, that the milk that comes out of a trefa animal is asur, just like the basar is asur. That's the principle of hayotze min atame is tame, that's mentioned in the Mishnah Maseches Bechoros. In Shuvas Yabia Omer, Chelechah Simen Pei, Zosyud Gimel, Rav Vadi Yosef quotes a machlokas rishonim, whether that's a din dor rice or a din drabanan, that hayotze min asur is asur. Most rishonim assume that it's a din dor rice. So that's very relevant, because if you hold, if you were to hold that it's only a din d'rabbanan, so obviously when you're dealing with sveikos, and we're dealing with any of the issues we're going to deal with today, you'd have a much bigger tzad lahakel. But Rov Rishonim assume that it is a din d'oraisa. Now, what about the milk of a cow that you don't know if the cow is a trefa or not, right? If you know that the cow is a trefa, good, so yotzei min aser is aser. What if you have no idea about the status of the cow? So the Gemara Maseches Chulin, Daf Yud Aleph, tells us, based on the concept of Rov, that you can rely on the fact that most animals are kosher, and therefore you could eat the meat of an animal. But anything with a miut hamatzui, which Mishkanas Yaakov understands is 10%, you need to check for trefos. So there's a general, you know, din midrabanan to check that an animal isn't trefe before eating its meat. But that doesn't apply to drinking the milk of the cow. Why does that not apply to drinking the milk of the cow? Because there's no way. How in the world are you going to check the cow's lungs when it's impossible to check the cow's lungs when the cow is alive and you're milking the cow? So there's no bedika that you're able to do for the trefus, for the sirchus on the lungs, and for the trefus that you have in a cow. Rabbi Bleich writes in his article in Contemporary Halachic Problems on this topic, he writes, he suggests, well, wait a second, with all the modern technology, we can't just take a look inside and see the lungs. I mean, only Rabbi Bleich would even suggest doing an MRI on every milking cow to be able to look. So he writes that it's just not practical. He says, even with presently available technology, most adhesions would not be detected by means of an MRI or a CAT scan. Furthermore, to the best of available information, an apparatus large enough to accommodate a steer is simply not available. They don't make MRI machines, and you know, they tell you to stay still. You know, good luck with the cow. You know, stay still. You know, don't ignore the banging noise that you hear in the claustrophobic whatever. So, an apparatus large enough to accommodate a steer is simply not available. Moreover, the inordinate cost and difficulty that would be entailed serve to render the requirement for such examination nugatory. Therefore, the Isser v'Heter in Os Mem Tes says that we have a presumption that milk from an unchecked cow is kosher. That we have to assume, we have to just follow the Rov and assume that milk from a cow, you go and you milk a cow, you can assume that it's kosher. Now, as long as the majority of the cows on a farm are not trefos, if you were to milk any individual cow, certainly we would apply the principle of called the parish meruba parish. If the majority of the cows are kosher, even though there may be many that are not kosher, called the parish meruba parish, you have the right to assume that the cow that you milked, it is from the rov, and therefore would be mutter. Additionally, each cow also has a cheskas kashrus. Now, part of the problem is that Rav Schechter heard from a rabbi in South Africa that oversees a dairy farm that over 90% of dairy cows are trefos. And then he spoke to another rabbi that oversees a dairy farm in the United States, and he was told that over 80% are trefos. Now, these are astounding numbers. So problem number one is that we may not even have called the parish meruba parish, because it could be that the rove is in the other direction. It could be that the majority are trefos. And then problem number two is, even if the majority are not trefos, the way we have milk is not because someone milks a cow and then bottles the milk from that cow and it ends up on our supermarket shelf. No, you have a farm that has hundreds or thousands of cows, and they're all milked, and all of the milk from all of them go together into the same vat. They're all mixed together where they are pasteurized. altogether they are pasteurized. And therefore, if you have a percentage that's greater than 1/60th that come from trefa animals, you're going to have a problem. Because while it's true on a daraisa level, min bimino is batal barov, midrabanan, we require shishim for min bimino. So if more than 1.67% of the cows are trefos, which they almost certainly are, right, by everyone's measure, more than 1.67% of the cows are going to be trefos, l'chora, the resulting ta'aroves of the milk is aser. And that was a question that was posed in a journal called Habe'er in Nisan of 5763 of Tafshin Samach Gimel, which is year 2003, and many, many different prominent Talmidei Chachamim wrote articles about it. I remember when Rav Schechter was first discovered this issue, and I said, Rebbe, did you see the journal they put out? And he said, yes, I read all of the articles to explain and give answers, and I didn't like any of them. I didn't understand why any of them were a good enough answer, so I'm still left with a kasha. So the way Rabbi Bleich formulates the shaila is as follows. He says, the crucial issue in determining the kashrut status of commercially produced milk is whether the principle of rov serves to exclude any halachic consideration of the existence of the minor set, or whether the existence of the minor set is acknowledged, but nevertheless disregarded as a matter of procedure. Meaning, the way Rabbi Bleich understands is, let's assume for a moment that rov are actually kosher, that you don't have that those numbers that Rav Schechter got from the rabbi in South Africa and the rabbi in the United States, that those numbers are not correct, and that really the rov is kosher. So now, what do you do when you have rov that's kosher? Do we now say that the miut is kemisha eno? Or do we say, no, the miut still has to be acknowledged, even though when you're going to take any milk from any given cow, you're going to say it's 100% kosher, because kol deparish meruba parish, but you know that the miut is there. So Rabbi Bleich writes that if you say the first way, then the statistical probability of the presence of the miut is enough to make bittel impossible, because if you know that more than 1.67% of the cows are treif, which you do know, that's for sure, then it's not going to be batel. But if you view it the other way, that no, once you have a rov, the miut is kemisha eino, then it would follow that when it's known that statistically significant representation of the minor set must occur, nullification is rendered. I'm sorry, then it would be, if the miut is kemisha eino, then it would be perfectly fine, then it would become batel. So one raya that they bring is from a tshuva of the Mishkanos Yaakov in Yaradea Simen Tes Zayin. In one of these essays that was written at the time, they brought a raya from this Mishkanos Yaakov. What does the Mishkanos Yaakov say? So Mishkanos Yaakov in Yaradea Simen Tes Zayin tries to prove that trefos were extremely rare bisman habayis, that we do something wrong with our cows, something changed. It used to be almost unheard of that they would find a trefa bisman habayis. And what's his raya? Because the Gemara in Pesachim Dav Samechei tells us that Rabbi Yehuda, who holds min bimino eno batel, right, he holds that min bimino is not batel b'shishin, that it's also b'mashu midoraisa min bimino. Rabbi Yehuda said that a Kohen would, on Erev Pesach, after everyone brought their Karban Pesach, a Kohen would take a cup of blood from the floor of the Azara on Erev Pesach and be zorikin on the Mizbeach, just in case, with all the craziness and the busyness on Erev Pesach, someone's Karban Pesach didn't have the dam that was Nizrak al Gabi Mizbeach, so they would just take a cup of blood from the floor that included a taroves of everybody's blood, and don't worry, you know, even if, what are you going to say, that one person's carbon is the blood of that carbon is going to be batel in the millions of other carbons? Min bimino ain't a batel. So you take one cup that has everybody's blood, that is the blood of everybody's carbon, because min bimino ain't a batel, and then you could throw it on the mizbeach, and that way you'll cover everybody. That's what the Gemara says. Now clearly, with millions of carbonos Pesach, some of those animals, l'chora, you would imagine, had to be a trade. And dam trefa, you're not allowed to be zorik on the mizbeach. So that same svara of min bimino eino batel that tells you that you're accomplishing something by throwing the dam on the mizbeach, because you still have the dam of that other guy, of that person whose carbon dam was not thrown on the mizbeach, also tells you you're not allowed to throw this dam on the mizbeach, because there must be trefa dam in here. So says Mishnas Yaakov Elamai, they never had trefas. Trefos was never really an issue, because it was very, very rare to find trefos in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So it must be that they didn't have trefos even millions of animals. Now, it seems that this raya only works if you assume that we still have to look at the miut and don't just say that once each animal is kosher based on rov, they're all kosher. Meaning, l'chora, if you're going to say that once each animal is based on rov, they're all kosher, then his raya is not a raya. Meaning, enochinami. There are some trefas in there, but it doesn't matter. Called the parish meruba parish, and therefore each animal on its own was declared kosher. And once it's declared kosher, that's it. The dam that gets mixed in, even though you know statistically that the trefas would be irrelevant. However, so that's the raya they bring from the Mishnas Yaakov, that the Mishnas Yaakov only has a raya if you're willing to ignore the miut. However, others point out that after the Mishnas Yaakov, the Mishnas Yaakov is going to work anyway, because the Mishnas Yaakov is talking about after all the animals had already been shechted, and they were bodik for trefos. So if they were bodik for trefos and they didn't find any, then they took the cup of dam and they threw it on the Mizbeach. The Mishnas Yaakov's whole raya was that they were able to do that even after they were bodik for trefos, because they didn't find any. The fact that they didn't find any trefos, that's all they really needed. So that's how they they're metarets that raya. Another raya is from the Tvur Shar in Simon Aleph, says that if a shochet is found to be ignorant of Hilchas Trefus, you know, every once in a while you got to do quality assurance, you got to make sure the shochet knows what he's talking about. So they check the shochet, he's totally ignorant of Hilchas Trefus. Can you still eat the meat from the animals that he shechted, even though statistically there must have been some trefus that he didn't throw out? So the Tvur Shar says that yes, because at this point we view it like a case of a lost lung where it's too late to check. So apparently the statistical probability of a problem doesn't bother him so long as we still have a rove. So that's how Rabbi Bleich formulates the question, meaning that if you're going to assume, so again there are two levels over here. Number one is, do we in fact have a rove? And that's the more troubling one, because you don't have a simple answer to that one. If there's a rove trefus, which Rav Shechter believes it is a rove, then none of the answers are going to work. All of the answers, l'chora, are only going to work if you assume that it's a rove that are kosher, but it's pachos, but it's yoser mishishim that are not kosher. And then that's where you get into the way Rabbi Bleich formulates it of, okay, but what do I do about that miut? Do I get to ignore the miut because of kol deparish meruba parish, or do I say, no, I have to view this with statistics? So there are a number of answers that are given. Some of these answers are for question number one about the rove, and some for question number two. So first, the number of trefos and dairy cows that have been shechted may not be representative of the percentage of trefos and cows that are being milked. Meaning, what did the rabbi from South Africa, the rabbi from the United States say, 80%, 90% that are trefos? Yeah, that's when you shecht them. When do you shecht a dairy cow? Why would you ever shecht a dairy cow? Because it's old and it's useless. It's barely producing any milk anymore. It's a very old cow. Clearly, dairy cows in prime milking years are younger, and they're slaughtered when they get old. So obviously you're going to find much more trefus. That doesn't mean that most of the cows that are being milked in their prime milking years are trefus. So even if those numbers are accurate, and they're very high numbers, but it could still be that the majority of cows are not trefus. A second point is that a cow has a chazakah of kashrus. There is a discussion in Rishonim whether there really is such a chazakah, considering that you never knew for sure that it wasn't a trefa. In Shulchan Aruch and Siman Pei Aleph, we assume that there are three categories of trefos. There are those that are known to have always existed, like if an animal, you know, let's say a person has an extra finger on their hand, so you don't assume that that grew like when they were 25, right? Meaning that they were probably born that way. So there are certain things that you know always existed. There are certain things, and that would mean that all of the milk from that animal, if it has a trefa that you know that always existed, that's obviously all the milk is not kosher. And then there are those that very likely develop toward the very end of the animal's life, like a hole in the membrane around the brain, which is probably not something it lived most of its life with. That's probably something that only happened later on, in which case you can assume the milk is kosher, because the milk from much earlier is kosher. That trefa probably just developed at the very end. And then there's a third category, where it really could have developed at any time. And the Ramah includes sirchos on the lung in that category. And the Ramah allows milk from more than 72 hours prior to Shechita when it has a trefa in that category. So this again deals with the rove issue. You want to tell me that rove of the cows are trefas? Why? Because there are so many sirchos on the lungs? Yeah, that would trefe up the milk that it was gotten from these cows within 72 hours of Shechita. But that which was gotten from these cows more than 72 hours before Shechita would be kosher anyway. It would be kosher anyway. So those are the two approaches to really deal with the rove shaila. That again, number one, that when animals get old, they develop a lot of trefos. And number two, strictly speaking, the halachos of these types of trefos are such that it only ruins the milk of the last 72 hours. 2 hours and not the milk from prior to that. Then another tzad, Lahakel, Adrama writes that since we paskin trefa eina chaya, whenever you have a case of a suffix trefa, if an animal lives for 12 months, you can assume it's not a trefa. Now that doesn't work for a vadai trefa, right? If an animal has something that's a vadai trefa, then the fact that it lives 12 months just means that we are really good at practicing veterinary medicine, but it's does not indicate that it's not really a trefa. But for a suffix trefa, the Rama says, living 12 months is a raya. So maybe the fact that the large majority of dairy cows live more than 12 months from the time they're milked indicates to us that they're not really trefas, that they are really what we would have considered a suffix trefa is in fact not a suffix trefa. And again, that also deals with the rove issue, that maybe it's not really a rove. Rav Zilberman, Rav Michal Zilberman, wrote an article in the RJJ Journal, the Journal of Halachic Contemporary Society, when he was learning in the Kollel Elyon. That's when all this was breaking. So he argues that really it could be another heter, that there's no Isser Yotze on a lung adhesion, based on a comment of the Marcheshes. It's a fascinating idea. The Marcheshes says that according to Tosfos, a lung adhesion is Asr. Not like Rashi. Tosfos says a lung adhesion is Asr on account of the concern that it will later develop a hole. So it would turn out that you would say that the reason you can't eat it is not based on the pasuk of Basar Basad the Trefa Lo Sochelu, that right now it's a Trefa, but it's based on Vizos HaChaya Asher Tochelu, which is only an Isser Esse. And the Magen Mishnah writes that there's no Isser Yotze on an Isser Esse. I seem to recall we learned that Magen Mishnah earlier this year, that there's no Isser of a Kala Yotze min Aser, when that which is Aser is only Aser B'Taras Esse. So it could be that a lung adhesion is different than all other trefos, in that it's only an Isser Esse. So that's as far as the rove also, that maybe we don't really have a rove. Yeah, Elliot?
If it's talay on whether or not the animal is going to be a trefa, wouldn't that make it into davar hishesh matirna until the animal actually goes for 12 months without dying, like we did earlier this year?
Well, why is it a davar hishesh matirna?
Because you have a suffix if it's going to be kosher or not, but that suffix will be turned into vada if you wait it out.
That if you wait it out, so that's a davar hishesh matirin. But that's just a passage of... I'm not sure.
I think we had that one this morning we did earlier.
Yeah, we mentioned that that the dafka by trefa, that when you wait for 12 months, that's a... So what do we answer then? And maybe it's not always a gvaldik araya, right? Meaning if it's a vade trefa, it doesn't help. So does that help us for a suffix trefa? I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. Rebelski pointed out in his tshuva, Rebelski's Zichrono Livracha, that there is a Ruba de Lesa Kaman that permits any Chalav Stam milk, because the majority of milk is not from DA cows, and we don't have the data for a numeric minority of DA cows. So you do it. Rebelski argues that we do have a rove. Rebelski also writes that the Shach Paskins, that any Suffolk Trefa, like we pointed out, that lives 12 months is kosher. So since there are poskim who permit DA cows that have this invasive surgery, because the incision is done for refuah, so they argue that it's not made into a trefa, and there's a machlokas about the incision itself, whether it makes it a trefa or not. So the DA cows that undergo surgery, it's a suffix to begin with, and they live over 12 months, so the halacha must be that the cows are kosher, that we paskin, like that shita, that if it's done for refuah, that kind of incision will not trefa up that cow. Rav Levi Yitzchak Halpern points out that most, in his letter to suggest the heter for milk, he points out that most of the cows that we render non-kosher aren't really technically non-kosher. They're often due to various chumras and sveikos that we have, meaning we have a lot of chumras in Hilchos Trefas. So what? They're like the we said before, the Mishkos Yaakov says, in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, they didn't have any trefas, and now all of a sudden we have so many trefas? No, we just have a lot of chumras about what we consider to be a trefa. So it's really impossible to say what percentage are unquestionably not kosher, and what percentage are only possibly not kosher. So there's no way you can say that you know for sure that the rov are in fact trefos. In fact, the Or HaZeruah says you're not allowed to shecht on Yom Tov in a place where most of the animals are trefos. And yet, the Shagas Aryeh writes that even though most of the animals were trefos where he lived, you're allowed to shecht because you have so many extra chumras in terms of what we consider to be a trefa. So you're allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. You don't have to assume that you're shechting it for no reason, that it's not for Ochel Nefesh, because it's going to be a trefa anyway. Because it may be what we call a trefa, but it's not necessarily actually going to be a trefa. Rav Asher Weiss, in his defense of this of the practice to drink milk, it's printed actually in the original Minchas Asher on Chumash in Shemos Simen Mem Gimel. So he writes that the rules of Rov, it's a big yesod that he holds, that the rules of Rov are not the same as statistics. He writes, Ulanias Daiti, Kola Muhuma Hazu, Betaus Yesoda, this whole tumult is all a mistake. The Yesoda Taus Bemashe Chlifu Ben Dintora Dachrem Lahatos Limadae Hastatistica. He says the whole mistake is people confuse the notion of Achrem Lahatos with statistics. The Af, Imam Nam Nachona Davar Shah, his Shebehisabrus statistic, E.F. Shalomar al Eder Behemos Shekulan Ksheros, even though when you're looking at a statistical analysis, you can't look at a whole farm and say that they're all kosher. Eliyesh Laniach Sheksha Achuz Hamiyut Aklali Yia Sheria Kach Achuz Hamiyut Gambe Eder Zeh, that if you know in general in the world that a particular percentage of animals are trefos, then a particular percentage of this flock is also trefos, so ach lo kin b'din Torah dazlin basarov. The same does not apply to dine Torah where we follow rov. Ulfi mishpat haTorah dayinon b'kol behema din kshera umela afim yisav behema shabbos kulon ksheros lfi din Torah. By the dine haTorah, you look at each animal, you say good kosher. This animal is kosher. Why? Because of rov. And then you have that about each and every animal, and now they're all kosher, and we could ignore statistics. Rav Asher Weiss says, for example, let's say you live in a city that's 60% Jewish population, and you find 10 different abandoned babies in the city. So what does the Mishnah tell us? You find an abandoned baby, the Mishnah Sechsorios, you find an abandoned baby in the city. So the halach is, do you assume that the baby is Jewish or not? So halach acharov, right? If it's only if it's a 50-50 suffolk, if it's only if it's 50-50 the population of Jew and non-Jew, then you assume the baby is a suffolk. That's what the Mishnah Lamelech writes. When the Mishnah Lamelech in Prashas Rachim has that whole piece about whether the Avos had a din of Bnei Noach or whether they had a din of a Yisrael. So the Mishnah Lamelech says, L'may nafkamina, right? Who cares whether they had a din of Bnei Noach? They probably figured it out, right? Meaning, it's purely academic. Meaning, his big kasha is, what do they do about Shabbos? Bnei Noach Shabbos is Chayiv Misa. Yisrael, that's not Shabbos, is Chayiv Misa. So what do they do about Shabbos? So the Mishnah Lamelech says, okay, there were the Avos. I'm sure they figured it out. L'may nafkamina for us. He says, no, there's a nafkamina. Nafkamina is you find an abandoned baby in a city that's 50% Jewish, 50% non-Jewish, and that baby is now a Suffolk Jew, Suffolk non-Jew. What should he do about Shabbos? So we have to answer that question. So that's the Mishnah Lamelech's basis for his whole discussion. But anyway, says Rav Asher Weiss, let's say you found 10 abandoned babies in that city, and the city is rove Jews. Statistically, only 6 of those babies are Jewish. 4 of them are not. Can they make a minyan? Can you answer Yeshme Rabba in such a minion of 10 Jews, of 10 people? He says, absolutely. Each one you view based on the rove that they're Jewish, and therefore absolutely you could make a minion. He says, not only that, when you look at the statistics of the city, statistically you should only look at the numbers of women in childbearing years. What percentage of those are Jewish versus non-Jewish? But that's not the halacha. The halacha is we look at the population of the city. Why does a 90-year-old woman, the fact that there's a Jewish old age home in that city that skews the statistics and makes it look like there are more Jews than non-Jews, more Jewish women than non-Jewish women in the city, why does that turn it into a rove? That's statistically, that makes no sense. Those 90-year-olds definitely didn't give birth to this baby. Elamai, there's no din of statistics. Rav Shachter would say, Ein hachi nami, right? Do not take into account the 90-year-old women. And my brother had a shaila once where I think it's He sent the shaila to Rav Asher Weiss. It's printed in Minchas Asher, where there was a woman who, Rachmana Litzlan, was walking in a park in Eretz Yisrael once, and she was ne'enas. She was attacked. She was raped in Gan Sakher in Eretz Yisrael. And now it was a couple of years later, and she was dating a Kohen. So if she was nivela l'pasula, she's pasula kahuna. But if she was nivela, if she was nivelas to a Yisrael, then she's not pasula kahuna. So she didn't. They never caught her attacker. They didn't know who it was. So what do you do? Do you say, well, around Yerushalayim, most of the people are Jews, and therefore you follow the Rov, so it's Rov Jews, and therefore she's fine? Or do you go to the police and ask them, most rapists in Jerusalem, are they Jewish or not Jewish? And if the answer is that most rapists are not Jewish, then you'd have to follow that Rov. So Rav Asher Weiss said, you look at the at the halachas of Rov. Rov of the Bnei Ya'ir are Jewish, and therefore she's nivela l'kashula. Whereas Rav Shechta said, no, you got to ask the police department. Is this a Rov? I mean, it's a more complicated case because you need a double Rov and the Rov of the inhabitants versus the people passing through. The details over there are more complicated. But the fundamental principle is the same. Or, for example, Rav Asher Weiss says, you have Teisha Chanuyos that are Mochas Basar Shchuta and Achas Basar Nevela, but you don't find one piece of meat, you find 10 pieces of meat, right? So do we say you're only allowed to eat 9 of them? No, you're allowed to eat all 10, because each one, you could say, called the parish, Meruba parish. So since each individual cow is considered kosher, the statistical incidence of non-kosher cows is irrelevant. His primary argument is that once we have a halachic principle to state that the milk is kosher, the halacha ignores the physical reality or the statistic. One proof of his argument, he points out from a Gemara in Zvachim, Dafayin Gimelim Beis, that implies that once the principle of Kol Deparish Merubah Parish is used, even if you later mix all of the items up, they're going to remain kosher. He also points to a Ramah. If you look up this piece in Minchas Asher, he points to a Ramah who says that the cheese made from many cows that are not checked for trefas and were only considered kosher based on the chazaka, and you mix all the cheese together, it's going to remain kosher. And that's quoted by the Rashi Maseches Chulin, the 7th Perek. Another raya is from the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah in Yeridea Simen Pei Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch writes, "Im yesh shishim behemos be'eder, v'lo yadinan bevadei shechalav min ha'trefa hi yoser mechalav achas ha'acheros, amir mistama dika shishim mutter." Unbelievable. Shulchan Aruch says, let's say you have 60 cows. One of them turns out to be a trefa. The milk of all of them got mixed together. Is it batel b'shishim? So he says, unless you know that that trefa was a bigger milk producer than the other 59, you have the right to assume it produced the same amount of milk as the other 59, and therefore it's batel b'shishim. Now it's clear that the assumption that you're working with is that all 59 other animals are kosher. But statistically, that's impossible. You can't have 59 cows and they're all going to be kosher. One or two of those are going to be trefa. Just because you have only one trefa that you know about, it's not possible that that the other 59 are all kosher. So apparently, even though we have a concept that there's a mira matzoy of animals that have an adhesion on the lungs and it renders a trefa, it seems to indicate that we view each cow individually and we allow each one based on the rove, even if their milk is mixed together afterwards. So it's important to point out that the halacha requires checking shechted cows for problems when it's 10% or more. So when you put together all the other trefos as well, aside from the ones, you know, there are 17 other possible trefos that animals could have that we don't check for. So you put it all together, mistama, 20%, 30% of the cows are going to be trefos, and yet, even with that assumption, the Rama says, if all the milk mixes together, it's perfectly fine. Rav Zalman Nechem Goldberg Zeichet Tzadok Levracha also answered that milk is kosher because we look at each individual cow, and despite the percentage of non-kosher cows, each individual cow is considered kosher until proven otherwise. So if there was only one cow left in the world, you assume that it's kosher, and you wouldn't say that it's not kosher based on percentages. So if all the cows in the world were gathered together, you also cannot assume that there are non-kosher cows among them, because each one, you look at it and say that one is kosher. So the same is true with the milk of the of gathering of all the cows, the milk of all the cows mixed together. So you would say that it's kosher. Rav Bleich quotes Chuvas Chassam Sofer in Archaim Sin Pei Gimel, that, you know, as like a little bit of Musser, that they say the Chassam Sofer writes that the same God that commanded us about Trefus also commanded us to rely on Rov. So, you know, that even if statistically it doesn't make sense. So these are all the answers that are given as far as once you have a rove. I think Rav Shechter primarily was not convinced that there's a rov, meaning there are two separate issues over here. Once you have a rov, do you believe in bittul b'shishim? So Rav Shechter wasn't happy about that either. He doesn't think that there should be bittul over here, because we know that there's that it's more than shishim statistically, and he thinks that rov is just a fancy way of saying statistics. That rov is not a separate concept from statistics. It's the halachic way that we interpret statistics. But if you know statistically that you have a lot of treifa milk in there, so even that he wasn't happy with. But besides for that, he wasn't convinced that there even is a rove of kasher. He thought that it's a rove treifas. When I asked him about it, I said, what about all these answers? He said, it's a rove. Rove of the animals are treifas. So I said, so should I not drink milk? He said, I asked the kasha. I didn't give a psak. I asked the kasha. He's not, I was sitting with Rabbi Shai Shechter recently at a Fleishig Asuda, and they had a par of ice cream for dessert. And he said, oh, this ice cream is so delicious. I'd never get to have ice cream. I'm like, that's why you think it's so delicious, because you never get to have ice cream, right? Meaning if you never actually have the real stuff. But Rav Shechter did not, as far as I know, never encouraged others to stop drinking milk. He said he has a kasha that he can't answer. In fact, there's a beautiful picture that you could find of Rav Shechter Shlita together with Rav Eliashiv, talking to Rav Eliashiv. So I asked him, like, what was said in that conversation? He said, I had like 2 minutes with him, because Rav Eliashiv had to run to a bris to be a sandik. He was always a sandik at a bris, and I asked him my question about milk. I'm looking for a svara to be mekel, and he said, but Rav Eliashiv didn't understand. He thought I was asking about the old question, about the bittul b'shishim question, when I was really asking about the new question, about the rov question, and so there was some confusion, and then he had to run, so I never got a clear answer on the issue. So Rav Eliashiv couldn't give him an answer, so he wasn't comfortable. Most other poskim, pretty much every other poskim in every kashrus organization, does allow the drinking of commercially sold milk. I had a Talmud years ago who I'm still very makushar to, whose family owns a farm in upstate New York. So I said, you know what, it would be a big chesed if you would just milk the cow, a cow, you know, without any tarovest, you didn't do any surgeries on the cow. If you have a cow, that you have a right to assume that it has a cheskas kashrus, milk that cow and deliver milk to Rav Shechter every once in a while. I think you might have done it once or twice even, but that would be the only way that it would work. Okay, we'll stop there. Everyone have a great day and a great Shabbos. Take care.